Welcome, revolutionary mama, to the Raising Wild Hearts podcast. I'm Ryan Watkin, educator, mom of three, rebel at heart, and passionate soul on a mission to empower and inspire you. Here, we'll explore psychology, spirituality, parenthood, and the intersection where they all come together. We'll discover how challenges can be fertile soil for growth, and that even in the messy middle of motherhood, we can find magic in the mundane. Join me on my own personal journey as I talk to experts and share resources on education, creativity, self-care, family culture, and more. I believe we can change the world by starting at home in our own minds and hearts, and that when we do, we'll be passing down the most important legacy there is: healing. And so it is. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Raising Wild Hearts podcast. I'm so happy you're here, as always. And I'm really, really excited to welcome our guest today, Dr. Lynn Carey. Dr. Lynn Carey earned a doctorate in chiropractic and a bachelor's in nutrition from Life University. She owned a private chiropractic practice in Wilmington, Delaware for 18 years and has traveled to Brazil and India. Dr. Carey loves empowering others to create their desired life of health, wealth, and perfect self-expression. Today, she lives in Miami Beach, where she stays busy pursuing her entrepreneurial dreams and homeschooling her teenage son. Welcome, Dr. Lynn.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to chat with you. So one of the things you're an expert at, I can tell after doing a deep dive on you, is raising children naturally. From your chiropractic days to raising your own teenage son, like, you have a lot of experience in this. And something that I've been exploring lately is, like, natural means like the way that Mother Earth intended, right? So we don't go to a flower and like pick it open to help it bloom quicker, right? We don't, you know, ask the sun to come out when it's raining. We don't, like, so natural to me just simply means like the unfolding of what is. So can you speak a little bit, like, in your mothering journey and just from what you observe from parenthood, how we can get back to those natural roots? Because our inclination is certainly to control a bit and to want to have power over in some cases. And so how do you stay true to that parenting from a natural place?
I guess my own personal journey was the perfect background to be able to honor my son's journey, because I basically, as an adult, had to unlearn everything I was taught. You know, I was always taught, you'll understand when you're older because I'm the mom. And really, she was wrong. And I had a knowing my whole life, and I'm still learning to honor it now and untangle myself from all those misguided beliefs. So I knew that we come in as source, we come in as whole spirit. And really, when we come in, we're probably the purest form where we could be guiding the adults in a way, you know, in a lot of ways. We're an example of our pure divinity, and we have a guidance that if we were allowed to follow from the beginning, maybe we, all of us, wouldn't be so screwed up. You know, I always say that's your God source, your God talking to you, and you're guided, and nobody knows better than God, right? The source of all. So I knew I just wanted to keep him non-interfering. So, you know, I just wanted him to have his voice, to be heard, and to always check in with himself first, like that, you know, and I respected, I kind of was an observer too of what he was drawn to, what he wanted, because I knew there was meaning there and we had to honor that. And I tell you, when you come from a place of that, it's easy. I never had a problem parenting. I don't even know if I like the word parenting, because my son and I have a unique relationship, I think. And it's beautiful. It's been a beautiful journey for me. And I see a lot of, I've observed this even before I had my son, but afterwards, I see a lot of parents just struggle with their kids. And I'm like, I never had that. So some people have karmic things to work out. You know, I was told my son and I did not have any karma. It was just come here and live fully. I think I had a lot of other things I was working on. He just wasn't one of them.
Right.
Not saying I'm perfect at all, but I was just blessed with this relationship as really being, I feel like, a higher level for me in my life.
Wow. That's amazing. And you're very lucky. So I think I've got some karma with at least one of my children. So I have three kids. And so, you know, there's different dynamics of the relationships that we create and evolve with our children. And one of the things that has been coming up for me lately is, why does it have to be hard? When will we allow ourselves as mothers, as women, as creators to just like step off the struggle bus? Like, when are we just like, okay, we don't need to struggle. We don't need to make it hard. We can just kind of go with the flow and let life unfold for ourselves and then our children. So self-expression, I love it. It's in your bio. I often look at my children expressing their joy, their frustration, their sadness, their anger, just their entire being. They're just little balls of self-expression when they, you know, until they get to a certain age. But especially when they're really little, they're just fully expressed, fully divine, as you said. So how do we as mothers show our children by allowing them to express? How do we show them how we express our full selves? So like, how do you guide others to show their fullest self-expression? Where do we start?
I think the first place is the only thing you should be working on is yourself. I think we can only control ourselves. So we have to be an example of embracing all our emotions and how we're guided through challenges in life and following our own passion and creating the life we want. And, you know, being in tune with our own bodies and our own relationships and our own wealth. And that's why I'm big on people creating their desired life. Be reflecting all those areas, because I found that all of those things affect your health and well-being. So when you are working on yourself, then you can be an example for your child. But really, it's trusting that they know, trusting their intuition, trusting what inspires them, trusting that they can have a bad day and get over it, trusting that they can eat something that's bad for them and it's going to be okay. You know, you don't want to be like neurotic about everything they eat, because then you're going to create someone who's neurotic about eating, you know? So it's about letting go, like letting them just be, and they're going to show you what they need. You know, you're really going to enjoy the journey. Like, my son has blessed me with joy and showing me abundance, showing me how to have fun, showing me, because I didn't allow as much for myself as I do him. It's easier for me to allow him. So I'm always learning to do it for myself.
Right. That self-trust too is such a critical piece. And I think many of us, probably most of us here, grew up not trusting our inner voice because we looked externally to our parents and well-meaning caregivers and our education system. And much of what we've been fed, sold, and, you know, taught are really lies. It's really not, so much of it has just not been truthful. It's not the way that life actually works, right? So we weren't allowed to actually find that expression within ourselves. We weren't allowed to, you know, just trust that inner voice. And so many of us, myself, when I turned 30 years old, I started like unraveling all this stuff, right? And there's no one to blame, but when we can take accountability for our own journey and say like, okay, this is our path. We got to like at 30 years old or however old your awakening comes, like, we have to start like we're kids again. We have to reparent ourselves. We have to love ourselves. We have to be that loving presence that maybe we had, or maybe we didn't have, or maybe some of the time we had a bit. So it really starts with parenting ourselves. And I love how you say, like, it starts with us. You can't control anyone. My kids are 1, 6, and 8, and I can't control them. I make suggestions lovingly, right? And 2, like, I'm just being safe, or just learning to be safe in my own body of like, even just this morning, I got a little frustrated. I was making a request for my 8-year-old and, you know, it was like, I said it 5 times and I was in my own brain thinking about the day, thinking about the stressors, and I caught myself. And like, there's 86,000 something seconds in a day. And for me, that's 86,000 opportunities to go, okay, back to center. Here I am, right? So I think so much of it starts with that. And I don't know if you would call that like mindfulness, if you would call it meditation, if you would just call it like that connection to spirit, like how does that show up for you in your life?
I think it's probably all of those things. I love that example. I love what you said. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think that's what I'm always checking in with. How do I feel right now? Or if I catch myself reacting, or And sometimes I'm reacting and I'm angry and I'm like, you know what? That's okay too. I have a right to be angry about this, but am I letting it affect the rest of my day with the, how, what place am I coming from making decisions? Even I'm pretty quick when it comes to my son though, like what am I going to say to him? Like if I see him asking me a question or making a decision, and it's easy for me to check before I answer him than even myself, you know, like, so that it comes naturally for me, but it's about being mindful every moment. And for me, it's about, am I allowing right now and feeling my best and feeling good? Or am I in the trying to make it happen, the struggle power thing, you know? And that's, I think, always a balance for myself.
Yeah, I agree. It's a never-ending practice. And it's interesting how you've mentioned a couple of times that it's so much easier for you to be that loving, non-judgmental presence for your son. Sometimes it's easier for us to do that for our kids than it is for ourselves. And, you know, me this morning, I said to my daughter, you know, I'm so sorry. You don't deserve to be talked to by that from anyone. And mommy was feeling frustrated and has nothing to do with you. Right? So this gift of repair. And then guess what she did when I walked out the door? I beat myself up, right? I'm like, oh, you know, and then I gave myself a little bit of grace, you know, and I tapped into like, I'm a good mom who made a bad choice. Since my kids were pretty little, my older two, we've really taken a play-based, untraditional path to education and pretty much everything we do. And so they were jumping on their beds one time and they put all their stuffed animals, like 1,000 stuffed animals on the ground. And they were jumping on their bed and diving into this like pile of stuffed animals. And they were 2 and 4. And I was just sitting there on the ground watching them in this like joyous, just expression of like, can you imagine being 4 years old and just like jumping as high as you could on your bed and diving into these stuffed animals? And I started crying, watching them, and mama, what's wrong? And I just said, I didn't have this when I was a girl. I didn't get to do this. And so watching you guys do it is so amazing. And I'll never forget that because they saw me, you know, I was probably sad. I was also overjoyed watching them. I was feeling a little, you know, maybe regret or I don't know, something missing out. And they got to see me say that to them. And so, you know, I think as parents, as mamas, we need to be honest with them and what we're feeling and what we're going through. And I do think that's where that mutual respect comes in, because the old model says, you respect me because I'm big. And, you know, this, like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Matilda, but the dad, like Danny DeVito, he's like, I'm big, you're small. I'm smart, you're dumb. You know, and this is what the traditional model says. And this revolutionary way of motherhood that we're stepping into now, so many of us, is I respect you and you respect me. And I set healthy boundaries, you know, and we build a relationship that hopefully lasts a lifetime, right? That's my whole goal. So from the beginning with you and your son, like, how did you know that you wanted to take the road less traveled? And did that take courage? Was it just like you fell into it? Tell us about that journey.
I think because I went through the hard part myself. I had, it all started because I had spinal surgery as a teenager for scoliosis, where they put Harrington rods in my spine to straighten it. And it left me sick and in pain for years. And then I discovered chiropractic and it was my saving grace because it was just the philosophy, the power that made the body heals the body. And I was like, how come no one has never said this to me and all my struggles being sick and in pain all these years? And so I learned to heal myself. Even being in chiropractic school, I don't think I was the traditional student because I had a unique spine. I had a unique, I had a lot of health challenges. So I wasn't like a quick fix. I had to really get into a different mindset. I had to believe that I could heal. I had to lose fear that I could get, you know, that I could actually get better. And so all that really opened my eyes to what was going on in the medical world. And I studied a book called How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor by a pediatrician. It was Dr. Mendelsohn. And I don't even think, I mean, I think you can find it, but it was out of print for a while. But he said what he treated was 99% of the fears 99% of what he treated were parental fears. And I got that. And I saw how backwards it was, kind of like a really invasive outside-in approach with the medical world versus the chiropractic was, well, what is the body trying to do? Symptoms are good. This is, we have to let a fever run its course. All the trauma that happens in the birth process in the hospital. So I was pretty grounded. Even vaccinations, I was learning about the dangers of vaccinations in the 90s when I was in school. So I was really grounded from my education in chiropractic, in the chiropractic world, and also my own health journey. I got better naturally, and I walked away from the mainstream thinking. So by the time I, and then there was a couple of other factors that came in. So I opened up my practice, and I'll be honest, I hated school my whole life. Like, I still have trauma. I think, like, even getting up early, I feel that, like, I hated that schedule, and I was a worrier. So, like, I studied hard. I got A's. I did everything I was supposed to. And I used to question, like, when am I actually going to learn, use this algebra or this calculus? And, you know, and my mom's like, you'll see, you'll need it when you get out. Well, I have never used it since. When I got out and opened my practice, because I was ignorance on fire, I just wanted to share my passion with the world that you can heal yourself, take your power back. And I realized a lot of people didn't want to hear what I had to say. And then I realized I had to run a business. Like, I never got into it for the money, but I, here I was, signed in a lease for my office and had to bring people in. And I was like, okay, this is really weird, because now people are going to think I'm telling them this for the money. You know, like, I didn't have those thoughts until I got out. So I started reading about financial books. I'm like, damn, all that school, nobody taught me about money or business. And this kind of controls everything we do. Even how I practice, even how people are taking care of their health. I was watching people come in, and I'm like, why are they stressed out? They don't have enough time. They don't have enough money. They can't make decisions for their health. They can't heal. I mean, it was just all an entrapment. And I, you know, read a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And it was just about cash flow and assets and financial education and how it's not taught in school. And I thought, I'll be damned. I'm like, I knew, like, I was in there struggling, working my butt off, and I knew something was amiss. Everybody kept telling me I needed it to be successful. Now I have proof. You know, not only that I have another way of looking at health, now I have another way of looking at finances. School's crap. Like, I, you know, I don't think it did me good at all. And it numbs you down. I believe it dims our life force. Like, we're that structure of it, you know, and outside in learning and not being inspired. I'm like, I knew our healing happens when we're happy, when we have our purpose, when we're free. So I was grounded pretty much in all that. I didn't have it all figured out for myself, but I knew what I didn't want for my son, you know? So it was easy for me to just start the path, and I still had to figure it out. I mean, I still had to figure it out. Like, what does homeschooling look like? And what are we going to do with this? Because especially he's 16, he'll be 17 in June. I mean, it's a lot more kind of common in the last couple of years, but we were still weird.
Right. Yeah. You were like the maverick of like the alternative way.
Yeah. It was so weird. And, but he was born at home, no vaccinations, no circumcision. He was breastfed. I always just kind of let him follow his own guidance, and we had to figure out a plan, and you just figure it out as you go, you know? And, it's been amazing, but I have compassion for moms. I really do. Because if you don't have that experience that I had, I can't imagine. Like, I was scared enough being pregnant, like, not of the physical process, but just like, you know, I'm going to have this child, like, I can't give them back. Like, what if I don't take to being a mom? Or, cause I saw a lot of people who were moms. They don't think they should have been moms, or they weren't good at it, or they didn't like it. Yeah. And that freaked me out. And, yeah. So I contemplated all these things. So I was scared of things like that. It turned out to be the greatest blessing in my life. But I just knew I had all that, but I can't imagine, like, you've gone through all these fears. It's a lot to be pregnant and have a baby, and then try to make all these decisions outside the mainstream. I have a lot of compassion for women. It's not, you know, you don't have to be perfect, but I was blessed that I had this solid foundation because of what I went through.
Right. It sounds like so much of the work that you did was even before your son was a thought, maybe. So you had to, like, you went through the weeds, like, before. And so many of us, like, we have these journeys and these dark nights of the soul and this unraveling, but at different stages in our lives, right? And it's also, like, cyclical, right? We go through hard you know, challenging, as I call it, like trudging through the muck periods. And then we go through periods where it's just easy and everything comes to us. And right. And that's like the paradox of that is so divinely inspired. Like, the, you know, we don't know the good without the bad. And, you know, eventually it's like we get to a place of equanimity where even through those challenges, we see the gifts. Even in the darkest of the dark, we see like there's still light, right? I love that.
I want to share. After I had my son, I went through definitely another dark night of the soul. It wasn't as extreme as I grew up very depressed my whole life. Once I found chiropractic, found purpose, I had a light inside me. I found truth and I found, you know, my passion. And I entered a grace state. That's why I called my book, My Journey to Grace. It was really kind of surpassing all human rationale and just being in this happy bliss state for no reason. So I had that. And then I was working on other areas of my life that I realized weren't great. When I had my son, what I realized happened, and I felt really guilty because I was feeling so depressed pregnant because it wasn't planned. And my heart was telling me I should be having him, but my mind was kind of screaming like all these fears. And then after I had him, I didn't have a problem with him. He was easy. He was an easy baby and all that, but my own self. And I realized what came up for me was, I think it was all my own stuff. Like all my own pain growing up was coming through, you know, like that I had to either grieve or mourn because I saw how beautiful life could be through him. And I realized I wasn't allowed that. And I'm not even blaming anybody. It was just the way society was. I think everybody, my parents, everybody did their best. It wasn't that they deliberately did anything to hurt me, but it was this, all the stuff I had to break through, like unhealthy relationships, the codependency, the financial struggles, like everything I think was coming up for me to clear. So I really went through a dark time after I had him. That eventually cleared, and I was still working on my own like crap, but I was able to enjoy him and being with him and his life. And I was lucky because I was able to spend so much time with him. My schedule allowed that, and I wanted that. So that just worked out, I think, by default. But it's not like you don't go through pain. I don't want people to think it was all roses and, you know, that it was easy in that respect. Other things come up at different times, like you said. You know, we all have different awakenings and dark nights of the soul at different times.
That's right. I resonate with so much of that. I think for about 30 years, in my case, I wasn't allowing myself to feel this massive pain of coming from a broken home, you know, just, you know, not being emotionally seen or heard or allowed to self-express. School, even though I was good at it, it was a grind and I was so uninspired. And I did what I was supposed to. And I got excited when I got A's. And I was like the self-proclaimed like gold star kid. I wanted that external, you know, that external badge of honor. So feeling the pain that for years was suppressed, repressed, numbed, self-medicated, positive vibed away, I am like, oh, fuck. Like now I have to feel all this. And you have to allow yourself to feel all of it. And this is the work we do as mothers to not pass down this bullshit to our children. It's going to stop with me. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to clear all of it, all the seven generations back, right? But what I do know is I'm here for it. And I'm not going to pass, hopefully, much of this stuff down to my daughters and my son. What's the thing you're the proudest about for not passing down to your son? Like, what's that one thing that you were able to like, I know you're still going through the process because we all are, we're humans, are ever evolving, but what's the one thing that you're like, this is not getting passed down. Like I'm done with it. I've cleared it. Like I'm so proud that he doesn't have to trudge through the muck on this.
There's probably two things I see. He always listens to himself when he knows that he knows that he knows that he knows. He makes a decision quick. He doesn't have the hemming and the hauling and it's like, yes, it's always like quick. He knows what he wants and he's not influenced by anything else, which is awesome. And he doesn't have the guilt. Like he's not trying to cater to anything. And we joke. I'm like, can I just make you feel guilty a little bit? Like we joke because my whole life was entrenched in guilt and obligation. And I'm supposed to be this the way it's the way it is. And you have to do this for the family. And I mean, oh my God. Mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So I'm so grateful. If anything, if I just cut that, and I think I gave him new tracks to run on, even though I might not have figured everything out, I gave him a different tracks to run on than just what mainstream society says, because I've been searching and searching and searching for other ways. And at least he has options now, a lot more than I did.
Talk to me about the journey to decide to homeschool and eventually, I think, unschool your son. And I'm just so curious because my kids are still little, you know, and I know it goes by so fast, and I'm always planting the seed of what the future looks like. And I envision going back to homeschooling one day. We homeschooled for 2 years, and it was great. And they were still kind of little. And so we just played all day and went on field trips and just hung out. So I was definitely more of an unschooler. And I align with that philosophy a lot. So how though, with an older son, a teenager, how does that look? Like, does he just like find his passion and you facilitate that? Or like, what are the logistics of that? And maybe why you eventually chose to homeschool, which I have a feeling it's because you hated school, you said, but how was that decision?
Yeah. I mean, I guess even if I hated school and it did something for my life, maybe I would have considered it again, but it absolutely, I think, just inhibited me. For me, it set me on the wrong path. You know, I would have chosen another path knowing what I know. Grateful chiropractic walked two worlds. I mean, a lot of the chiropractic school wasn't even necessary because we became doctors. We had to get licensed. We had to follow the whole medical curriculum. So a lot of the chiropractors lost their soul in that too. I mean, I don't know if I would have chose the traditional chiropractic school either, maybe natural healing if there was an alternative. I know at one point there was like a spinology school where it didn't have all that. Like, there was a big divide about all that, you know? So that was kind of eye-opening. But I hated school. It didn't give me anything. And I found all these other resources. So I knew I wasn't going to put them in there. It felt like prison to me. But I didn't know what it looked like. So I actually I didn't worry about it when he was young. I mean, I let him, he was always interested in things. So I didn't have to push him. It was almost like ridiculous how many activities he wanted to be a part of. And it wasn't like I was the person saying, got to do this, or you got to do this. Like, I was just like, how's this? Is this interesting? Yeah, I want to do that. And he'd stick with it. And so he was into, like, he did jujitsu young. I was adjusting a lady who was an art teacher. She was a teacher and also an artist. So she gave him private lessons once a week for years. And she was almost like his art therapy. She would say, well, tell me how you feel while you're drawing this. And she would always be like, what do you feel like drawing today? And I mean, she was probably outrageous for a lot of people. I loved her, you know, because she was right on my page. Yeah. So he had the blessings of that. He did a lot of activity, like baseball, music, and it wasn't because I pushed him. He was generally interested and he stuck with everything. I remember first grade. I think I didn't care about before first grade because I thought, like, the kids are too young. Like, why are we even, you know, putting them in preschool, kindergarten, all this stuff? Come on.
Right. Right.
And it's just, let's get them young and train them to be the way we want them to be.
Kindergarten readiness.
So I think it was first grade. I guess I went to the school district and I asked, I'm like, do you have a curriculum that you use that I could use? Because really, if I was going to public school, he could go. I just wasn't putting them in there. So I thought I could have access to the curriculum. And they basically said, we don't have one. I don't know. Like, the teacher just does whatever. I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, they were no help. And I just had to sign in Delaware, like sign in that we'll have a homeschool and give them how many days they were absent how many days they attended, which you need 180. So you put 180.
Yep.
That's what we did. So I went to Barnes and Noble. I loved the Barnes and Noble store. And I would just get a book, like What a First Grader Needs to Know, had all the subjects. And we would just do twice a week, a couple of pages from each chapter, from each subject. And then the rest would be his activities. And then he had friends, like he had just friends from my friends, and he had the neighborhood. There was a group of kids that we'd always go to the park, he'd hang out. So it was, we never found the traditional homeschool group. We tried one in Delaware. It was a little too alternative for us. They were a little weird. I mean, you know, when you find groups like that, that's kind of, I can see why people think homeschoolers are weird. You know, like back then I used to be like, I'm not like that either. Like, I was right. Like this unicorn, like I had ideas that are missing from this stream, but I wasn't trying to escape living in the world. I feel like a lot of those people, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
That's I do. Yeah. I think even amongst a homeschool community, even amongst like an uncommon community, there's so many different schools of thought. And some people want to, you know, like rework the system, but at home. Some people treat their homes like schoolhouses, or some people don't do anything and they spend 1,000 hours outside. There's so many different ways you can go. And so you have to find your people. And to speak to that is a feeling. Like when you find your people, you feel like, oh, okay. And maybe you don't find your people and you go at it alone and you be with friends and you know, facilitate your kids' friendships. And there are just so many options. Like this, like we are taught that it looks one way. And when we like lift that veil up, we go, oh my God, the possibilities are freaking endless. Like we can literally do whatever we want.
But you know, there's also when you realize it's also, there's a fear of not doing what we have been so brainwashed, I think we need, because you're going to screw your kid up.
Yeah.
So I think people are wrestling with a lot of that too, you know?
Yeah. I'm so glad you bring that up, because so much of the lifing we do is based in fear. And I think that's all by design, you know, whatever. And so when we say to ourselves, like, this is something that I try to keep as my North Star. Am I making this decision from love, or am I making this decision from fear? And so when my oldest was getting ready to go to kindergarten, and I called the local public school that's an A-rated school, right? It's this great school. And I called and I said, hey, I'd like to come by and do a tour and audit a class. And I'd like to just come and, like, you know, get to know everybody. And she's like, oh, we don't do that. And I was like, huh? You don't do that? My child is 5. She like, and you want me to like send her there and I don't get to come and like see what you guys are doing, like, or talk to anybody. And for me, that was probably the first moment where I went like, okay, something's wrong here in my system, in my heart. This doesn't feel good. And I had two choices. I could ignore my intuition and push through and go, well, everybody does this. I did this. I'm fine. We're fine. It's fine. Like, I could ignore it, or I could follow that whisper in my heart. And consistently, when you follow that little whisper saying like, hey, there's a different way, there's a better way, there's a more loving way, that's where you get your path less traveled. And that's where we've gotten our path less traveled. So
that's beautiful that you had the courage and the wisdom to follow that. Not everybody does. And that's the main thing I was talking about with my son. I always wanted him to have to follow that from the beginning. That's the norm, because that is our guiding star. You know, it tells you if something's off or not for you. And that's so important. How many of us have been taught not to follow it? I did always say to my son, if you want to go to regular school, I always gave him the choice. You can go, because that was my thing. I wanted him to have freedom to choose. I'm like, I didn't like it, but you might like it. And I went through the same thing. I said, well, all of a sudden, third grade, he decided he wants to try school. And I was like, oh, okay, I wasn't prepared for this. And I let him shadow. Catholic school lets you shadow. I always went to Catholic school. They let you shadow. He went for the full day. And I thought, there's no way he's going to sit in there for 8 hours and come out and like it. You know, like, I just like, this will just be, he'll see what it's all about. He comes in bouncing out. I loved it. And I was like,
okay.
Holy crap. Yeah. What do I do with this? He's like, I want to go to school. And I'm like, oh my God. So, and then I said, well, they were hemming and hawing because he's not vaccinated. Their insurance. I was mixed up. I thought the private would have been, you can easier because you're paying, you can sign a waiver. Public school, I had no problem. I just had to sign the waiver that I take responsibility that he's not vaccinated.
That was in Delaware. Yeah. So different states have different regulations. So you look into your different state regulations, just as a side note.
He couldn't come in. They just said it was insurance reasons, their insurance policy. And I was like, fine. Because in the meantime, while they were hemming and hawing, we went to the public school, which I grew up thinking you never go to this public school. I thought it was really bad. But I thought, let me just look into it. Like, why am I being closed-minded? Catholic school is far from perfect. So we went and they were amazing. I found the most amazing group of educators and teachers and the environment. And I had to go, he doesn't even have a primary care. You know, we never did anything traditional. medical. So I had to find someone to give him his physical and all this. And the one guy threw us out, said, oh, we don't do, you know, he doesn't have a primary care pediatrician. We don't do things like this. And I'm like, well, I am a doctor. Like, I'm not making this haphazard. Like, I'm not endangering my child.
Right.
So he wouldn't sign us off. I went back to the school and she's like, well, go to this other, it was like a medical express kind of place, you know? And I was like, oh, there's going to be another probably, you know, here we go. So I went and the lady was amazing. She was a nurse. She said, my sister homeschools her kids. If I knew what I knew today, I would have homeschooled them. And if I knew what I knew today, I would have never vaccinated my kids because I see all the problems. And then we went to the school nurse to give the papers in the public school. And she said, oh, he's not vaccinated. She goes, I bet he's never sick. And I go, no, he's not. She goes, I see the correlation all the time. He only went third grade, part of fourth grade, because I encouraged him to stick it out. Like in the sense, like make decisions, not because you're having one bad day, but because you can't just don't go in and out, like really commit all or nothing. You know that, you know, like you don't want to just go in and out. So that's why he, even the end of third grade, he's like, I might go back to homeschooling. I'm like, I think you like it too much. Go to fourth, but fourth grade wasn't like third grade. But when we went to the first teacher meeting in third grade, I was kind of nervous because I didn't have him up to par on reading. He was more ahead in math because I wasn't forcing him to do something he didn't like because I hated to read until I got out. So I didn't want him to hate reading. And I just thought they were going to be like, he's behind on this, this, and this. But really they said, what are you doing with your son? Because he loves to learn and he's so open to everything. He goes, don't worry about all that. We can catch him up on reading. He goes, but we wish everybody felt the way he did about learning. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. So he always flourished. He was always happy. I'll tell you, we've hit the hard times have been now for my son. He's not finding his passion and his purpose now. And because of the lockdown the last couple of years, even what we had, the homeschool group that we had different beliefs. I'm not going to bring in politics into your conversation now, but I've always been about health freedom. I knew what was happening was wrong. And I was speaking out from the beginning because I saw what was happening because I was educated in a lot of ways. I was never political, but a lot of dots were connected for me.
Right.
And the homeschool group was very much okay with keeping us apart and the masks and all this stuff. And so we really lost our connection there. He talks to them online. He has kids he talks to online, but we lost the in-person community. It's just been a struggle these last couple of years finding his way. And I said, you know what, Gilfredo, maybe you're not supposed to know yet. Maybe you're supposed to go through maybe his own little dark night of the soul because it's through the contrast that we find our purpose. It's through not having something or being bored that you find what you want. Like not know, it's also not knowing what you want is also important to know what you want. So I'm like, I don't think what you're looking for is even here for you yet. I just get this sense. So just hang on there and just be open, you know, but he's been going through some struggles right now, but these last couple of years have not been normal. So we're just kind of navigating.
That's so valuable for him to be able to have the space held for him to go through the struggle. And for you as a parent, as a mama, not to say like, let's fix this. No, it's like, sometimes you struggle. Sometimes you're not going to know what the next move is. And, you know, as you follow those whispers, as he follows those whispers, it will unfold. And, you know, to speak on what our world and country has been through in the last 3 years, you know, it breaks my heart. It's part of the reason I'm here talking to you. You know, I looked at a mental health report for our youth the other day that was published by the CDC and the different trends and where things are going and the different issues we're having. And it's abysmal and it's disheartening. And honestly, I'm disgusted by it. And we need to wake up. We need to make better and different choices for ourselves and our families, because in 20 years from now, who's going to be running our country? Who's going to be leading? Who's going to be inspiring people? Who's going to be creative to solve the actual problems that we have in the, like, and so, yeah, I feel so deeply for your son because he was at a really pivotal age and a tough age as it is when it started. So
turning 14 when all that happened, it was just a brutal time.
Right.
But you know, that teenagers is a weird time anyway, and ends up you living through that.
Totally. Totally.
But you know, I guess what I've always stood for is I didn't understand why people don't want to wake up. Like even in practice, I got kind of like frustrated being in practice because I felt like people just wanted me to fix them, or they just wanted to come in and tell me their problems. Well, I wanted to see people empowering themselves, living their life to the fullest, breaking out of the mainstream. The mainstream, I mean, now I see a deeper reason going on, but I knew there was something off. I'm like, people aren't happy and yet they're okay with that. Or I don't know, like they weren't happy with school and they're just throwing their kids in there. Like they're not questioning things.
Right.
I questioned everything and I found answers for everything. And I found the joyous journey. I was doing that before we had this lockdown, but, and you know, I realized people have to come to it at their own. I felt like we always had a choice. What's freaked me out the last couple of years is our choices were taking away. That's what made me start to stand up and speak up. I had to accept when I opened in my practice, like the first 5 years of my practice, this is 1998 to 2003, that people weren't ready for what I had to say. I realized I was very radical in my thinking. But I had to get to the place where it wasn't about changing the world. It was about changing myself, being a light, being an example for when people are ready or who are ready for you so you can guide the way. Like I realized I had to be respectful. If they weren't ready, they had to go through a road that I wouldn't choose, but we have choices. But the last couple of years are taking our choices away. I don't know how people aren't connecting those dots. To me, that's what's been scary. So I've kind of got back. I'm more passionate about sharing my story, my own self-healing, all this, because I think people need more stories of empowerment. And we need to be shown a new road, especially for our kids more than ever. I mean, I kept my kids out of school for a million other reasons besides. Now there's a million more reasons of what's happening today. So if that makes me question, like, thank God it's not in there. But I didn't even have that perspective when I decided. So it's like really important that we are true to ourselves. We get back to our being true to ourselves. And I don't know, we got to create a new world. It's unbelievable what's happening right now on so many levels.
Yeah. Yeah, I always say we can change the world by starting at home. And it's not just something I say, it's something that I know in every cell of my body to be true. Because like you said in the beginning, the only person we can control or change is ourselves. So by changing our own minds and hearts, we're bringing that presence and purpose into our lives. And it radiates out to our children and it radiates out from there. And it's just this ripple effect. And I think for so long, we as a collective have been looking outside of ourselves for answers, guidance, the path, the hack, the map. And it's not something that comes from out there. It comes from within for every single question, every single answer. And one of the things I do is I just ask questions constantly. And sometimes I don't know the answer and we need to be okay with that. Like we need to settle into that discomfort of, I have this big question, or I have this, in my case, existential question. Why are we here? Why am I here? And you know what? Sometimes I don't know the answer. And guess what? It's uncomfortable. And I'm going to sit with that. And I'm going to show my kids how it feels to be in the fire and to be uncomfortable with not knowing everything. Because contrary to popular belief, contrary to what they're teaching at that school down the road that I called, you know, 4 years ago, we don't have the answer to everything. It's not an equation. It's not this way or that way.
I'm grateful that you're out there sharing this information because you're doing an amazing service and you're walking your talk, you're living it. And that's all we can do. And it's not perfect, right? And we don't have all the answers. And I love that. We have to be okay with being uncomfortable and not knowing the answer. That's part of the journey. And if we can embrace that more, I think the answers come. I think it's like, I'm always like, I gotta know. The struggle is real. Like I gotta, you know, check off my list or I gotta have this, you know, and it's like, okay, we don't know everything. It's not, doesn't have to look a certain way, and we have to be okay with that.
I'd love to know for our listeners, like one thing they can do, one question they can ask themselves, one way to spark their own little light of courage that you've clearly had along your way and that we've been interweaving throughout this entire conversation, because taking, you know, I always say this, it's so cliche, but it's cliche because it's true, like taking the path less traveled. What's your words of wisdom for finding that courage and standing steady in it?
Well, I guess the one thing you ask yourself is, are you being authentic to yourself? Are you listening to that small voice? Is your life matching that inner voice, which is your authentic happiness? I don't want to just be happy. Some people think having the relationship, the job, or the house and the car is happiness, and then they realize it's not. I mean, the authentic happiness where you're living your purpose, your passion, and your authentic self, and you have joy waking up every day. Are you living that? If not, it's time to go on the journey and discover why not, and find out what makes you tick and what's that voice telling you. And it's a process.
That's right. I love that. Thank you. Beautiful. So what's bringing you joy today, Dr. Lynn?
You know, I'm at a crossroads right now, and I think I'm at a very surrendered place right now. I hit kind of another wall in my journey because of these last couple of years. It kind of derailed what I was doing the first 3 years that I was here in Miami. And I'm okay with it. I'm like, maybe this is the final breakthrough I've really been looking for, because I'm at such a surrendered place. Okay, universe, show me what's next. Because I had a plan in my head, but you're showing me something a little different. And I'm okay with it. I'm not freaking out. Like, I am at a surrendered place, and that's probably a great place to be.
Absolutely. So what, if anything, are you reading right now? You've mentioned a couple great books, so I'm curious what you're reading now. Yeah, What's on your bookshelf?
I love to read, and I'll keep rereading books. There's a book that I keep rereading right now. It's called The Complete Works by Florence Scovel Shinn. And she was a metaphysical healer and physician, like healer and spiritual teacher back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And she's amazing. And it's all about mind your words. And that's where I got even the whole thing of creating your desired life. She calls it the perfect square of life: health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. She goes, well, you're meant to have it all. What's happening? And she goes, it's the thoughts you think, the words you say. And I'm like, so from back then. And she just calls it right out. She's so firm in her. So if I just need a good kick in the butt, and these chapters are short, it just puts me right back in focus when I read it. I love it.
Oh, talk about Maverick. That's amazing. I'm going to have to put that on my list. The one I go to for that is, I've got The Power of Now just always on my nightstand. So I'll like just open it up to a random, you know, short little, he's got little excerpts in there that like always just hit right at the spot that I need them to.
Yeah, that's a good one too. I like that one.
Who or what have you learned the most from?
You know, I think the person I've learned the most from is my son. He just shows me how life can be, how we were all meant to be. You know, if we were just allowed to be true to ourselves and follow our authenticity. And I learn from him all the time. So I think he's probably taught me the most. I would just kind of be an observer to his little world, especially he's older now. It's a little different. But when he was growing up, just his carefree freedom, always imagining, creating, living in abundance, and everything you needed always just lined up. Even the school experience lined up with like the perfect teacher, knew the kids in the class. And I'm like, I would just sit there like dumbfounded. Like, I can't, this is unreal, you know, to myself. Like, look how it works. If we were allowed to be in the flow, synchronicities, everything, I would just be an observer to his joy and his abundance and everything lined up. It's still to this day, he's much more, I feel like, in it than I am most of the time.
Right. Observation is one of those things that often gets overlooked as parents. And I think it might be one of the most important keys to understanding our children and really getting a glimpse into their little lives. If we just step back and remove our own agenda, you know, some of us have more of an agenda than others, but if we can remove that and just see who they are, what they love, you know, it really just unfolds. That's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Lynn, for sharing your wisdom and your words and your heart. I know this is going to touch so many people.
Thank you for having me. This was amazing. And thank you for all you do, because it's helping all of us. I think we got to raise the consciousness around here, raise the high vibes for us and for our kids. So thank you.
That's right.